Welcome to the Williams Nikon YB Hurton phone conference line.
Hi, Monty?
Yes?
Listen, before it gets to be 7 o'clock, where is the cheapest place? I'm now out of coconut oil almost, and where is the cheapest place to buy it? I figure you found that out.
Do you go to Costco?
Well, I can.
Well, Costco's the cheapest. You can get it for $20. I think it's about $20 and something for 74 ounces. The cheapest I've found is at Vitacost, but you only get 54 ounces for $20.99.
Okay, $20.99?
Yep, and Costco's about the same, only get 20 more ounces.
Okay, is it organic, both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get somebody to go to Costco with me.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got some of the results I'm going to talk about this morning. But so.
Oh, did you?
Yep, in regards to my blood and whatever. So.
Yeah, you know, my, I did too. My good cholesterol went up, which is, has never gone up. But so did my bad cholesterol.
Yep.
But the question is, they haven't demonstrated that, I don't know. Anyway, ugh. Decision making is hard.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, that's why I think it's so important that each one of us look at our own systems and situations and then make the choices that we make based upon how we feel about certain things. And I think that's very important.
Well, I'm going to keep using it. In even the worst case scenario, I'm going to use it for dental, you know, to pull stuff, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people are using it.
Yeah.
I'm finding so much of the verbiage and talk that's going around, you know, I'm finding every time I see right now, when they talk about oils or anything else like that, before you, they're always talking about coconut oil.
Yeah.
Listed, I should say, as one of the good oils. So I think the thought process of the saturated fats is kind of, not all saturated fats are good, but I think because of the way that coconut oil works, having a medium chain fatty acid, I think that's the secret. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, Joan and Monty.
Yes.
Ooh,
good morning.
good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
What interesting conversations.
I sent out that the telephone number to that. Somebody didn't get the telephone number, so I sent it out to them. I hope the rest of you guys did get it. The phone number for that SEAC. The free sample.
Oh, okay. You emailed it, Joan?
Because you did get it, right?
I do have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in my notes.
Right, and I for nothing else, the things that they send you, they have a brochure, seven pages. It's worth it to just get that.
Well, and it's good to have that on hand, that phone number and a sample and everything, because, boy, I'm asked about this much too frequently.
Yeah. Well, and also the times. I took all the signs down, and I left up one sign that I had, the one that said on one side, pray, and the other side said, pray now. I think I'm going to leave that up forever.
Well, you have signs around your house?
Well, you know, political signs. I live on a street, and people
signs.
Know me. I used to be a count, you know. Elected official, you know, and ex-elected official, whatever. So, yeah, I try to.
Well, I sit back here too far on how many signs.
Yeah.
That'd be cute. Okay, 702. So, Good morning, everyone. And our host today is Monty, who lives in Olympia. And we always enjoy having Monty here on Friday. So let's go ahead and get started.
Great. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the call, WebEx, or whether you're on the or your cell phone or whatever. I'd like to welcome each. Know that our mission is to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit, and I feel that's very, very important. I'm sure everybody out there, whether you're on a plan or not, want to feel that way, that you are have a good mind and a good body, but sometimes things don't work out that way, particularly as things go on, based upon our lifestyles and our eating habits and a lot of other things that we do in our younger years in life. I do find that those kind of things do have a bearing on us as we mature. So that's my feeling there. And I'd like to tell everybody that if you've missed a call, you can always go to allswell.org, where Steve Crowfoot records our calls for us. So those of us that want to go back, and if we miss something or want to go back and just get some more information on it, the calls are there. Other than that, what we'd like to do here on Monday, on Friday, and that's pretty well much kind of a quick review of what happened last week, or this week, so that if you haven't missed any of the calls, you can kind of get an idea of what happened. On Monday, our host is Mary Lou, and she always brings us back to basics. And I think that's very important, because I think basics, no matter what you're doing in life, are important, whether it be education, building an e-can business, whatever, that the back to basics, and things are done a certain way, and that's the way things should be. We, of course, those things are water, having the good water that we have, the good sleep. You know, she talked about having no light at night in your room because it can affect your sleep patterns. She talked about exercise. Those are one of the things that are very important, and how we need to move at least 30 minutes a day. You can do that in different 10 minutes, 10 times, 3 times a day, 10 minutes, or you can do it 2 15s, or you can do it all at one time. And there's different kinds of exercises and ways. Just moving is the main important part. She talked about nutritionals. And journaling, and how journaling is very important because we keep track of the food that we eat, the exercise we do, how our feelings were that particular day on the things that we ate, and we usually try to get as much as up to 10 points as we possibly can. She also talked about iodine, how it's very important to our diet. We talked about zinc, and it's good for fighting off influenza. They're finding, and a lot of commercial products that are on the market supposedly that will help with those kind of things do have zinc in them. She talked about aluminum, not good, of course, for us, and we talked about that a little bit. Then we went in and talked about some what is basically vitamin D. She talked about that. And then Tuesday is our terrific Tuesday day, and I believe Ruth did it this week, and Donna, and we talked pretty much about how they were feeling good, and they had some situations. And the whole idea about there was just keep tweaking. Ruth said, just keep tweaking it. Keep tweaking it until we get it right. And I think that's very important, particularly in regards to health. And like I told Joan, we hear a lot on this call, but I think what each and every one of us have to do, and we have to look at that, look at the things we hear and see and do whatever, the books we read, and then determine what's best for each and every one of us, and then put that into our program. And like Ruth said, just tweak it a little bit. She talked about mushrooms, Donna did, in regard to how they've been very good over the centuries in regards to helping with immunity. And, of course, we have our immunity that we have, which is basically 14 mushrooms that Roger Drummer put into those particular things. And I think that's very important, and I do definitely believe that mushrooms are helpful and beneficial to each and every one of us. It basically... You know, they help fight and prevent diseases and all that sort of stuff. Body helps fight all kinds of diseases. And our body is basically the key. And I think of my body sometimes as a doctor. In other words, when something's wrong with my body, I hope my body gets in there and tries to figure it out. And then I think what it does is it does what it's supposed to do, and that's to help in the healing process. Of course, we can always help those kind of things in regards to the food we eat and the things that we do that are beneficial for a good lifestyle. And also immunity. Our immunity is basically we need to think about prevention. We don't want to get diseases. We want to try to prevent them, and that's why I feel that our immunity is very, very good. Wednesday, Ruth talks about preparedness and being prepared. you know, how long were you, would you basically survive in a situation? I think sometimes when people think about surviving or prepping or doing whatever, they kind of think of maybe people like me that have stuff around enough if something happened for at least a minimum of a year or whatever, that I would be, could basically pretty much survive right here in my location. But I think preparedness, if we think about what's going on back on the East Coast right now, see, it's been how many days, or I should say a week and what, how many days? And, you know, one of the things I heard on the news sometimes is, well, we don't have any food, or, you know, we don't have any gas, and we don't have this. And I sit there and I go, it's only been 3 days and 2 days, and you still don't have any food in the house? Well, a way that a lot of the people nowadays eat and whatever, when people that are not like us, that think about health and try to have better bodies and do whatever, they go to the grocery store, they pick up something out of the deli, or they swing by McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, and that's their meal. And so when I start hear people talking about things like that, you know, even Ruth happened to mention even toilet paper, and how some of the, even I saw a picture it showed about people actually bartering with toilet paper. But I know there's different things you can utilize in place of toilet paper, but it's the necessities and things that we need. So my suggestion is just think about what you can, what is your major thing that could happen in your area? Well, in here for me, I think it's electricity. Okay, because of some of the bad weather we get, and you know, I was down last year for over a week, that it was surprising, but I was very glad that I was prepared for that. Most people basically aren't, and the other thing we have to think about is earthquakes. When you think about earthquakes, you think about transportation and all that kind of stuff. How does food travel? How does gas get in and out? You know, right now, people were screaming about gas and having fights and everything else, and the other thing I think we need to always think about is if somebody else don't have in the world what we want, in most cases people will come and get it. Or if people know that we are in a unsecure situation and they want it, they're still going to come and get it. And looting basically started back east pretty fast. It didn't take too many days before the people were out looting and stealing things that had in people's homes. So think about protection. And protection doesn't necessarily mean a gun, even though I think that's important. One of the other things, baseball bats, canes, whatever, anything that has a sharp obstacle on it, point on it, whatever, can help defend yourself. And one person I talked to one time about being prepared, and they said, well, that's okay, the police will be there. And I thought, you know, the police usually aren't there when somebody robs your home, or somebody steals, or somebody comes in and beats you up, or somebody robs a bank, or somebody does whatever that breaks the law. It's usually they come to write reports and try to find the person that committed the crime. So we got to make sure that we are prepared in all situations for our own self, and particularly our families. And I think of that. I think of my neighbors here who aren't involved in having a few little extra food around or water or whatever, that I know if a situation happened that I can go with my faith and help other people because I'm prepared, and I think that's one beneficial part of preparedness. So anyhow, that's what we talked about on Ruth on Wednesday. We had some good conversation. Nancy talked about on Thursday, basically about some alternative cancer treatments in regards to FCAC tea, and found out what we talked about, the ingredients, and the main ingredients are burdock root, sheep sorrel, a slippery elm bark, and turkey rhubarb. Well, I kind of was talking about those ingredients. I got on YouTube yesterday and I pulled up how to make FCAC tea, and I found a couple of very, very good videos on YouTube that talked about those exact ingredients, and like the lady that Renee Casey, I think was her name, how she basically came up with this formula many, many years ago. We talked about Mangosteen juice. We talked about the FCAC tea, and I think the key, Joan, correct me if I'm wrong, but that number for the free sample of FCAC tea was 1-866-377-4221. And you can also, she talked about if you can get that through discount FCAC tea, that's just make that one word, .com, and you can go in there and read all you want to about FCAC tea, how it became about, and some good things in regards to FCAC tea. So that's pretty much this week, and what we discussed. Does anybody have any suggestions or anything you'd like to mention that you heard last week that maybe was a nugget for you? Okay. If not, one of the things I'd like to talk about, of course, I'm not here on Tuesdays. I have to always go back and listen to the program at allswell.org in order to catch myself up. But one of the things that I've done recently, because we've talked about vitamin D and hydroxy levels in our bodies, and we're always talking about cholesterol and good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. So one of the things that I've done recently is I have, when I hear things, I'm the kind of person that I got to get the information and I got to get it right now. So one of the things I did, I went to a organization called Life Extensions, and they're a company that you can actually go into, and if you become, you can buy, get blood tests that are basically, you can take it to certain labs in your area and you can have your blood tested for whatever you want. There's things on there that different, all kind of blood tests that you would ever think of that your doctor would order for you, that I went in, and so I ordered one, and one, of course, was my CBC with a complete blood panel. And one of the things that we've done, and some of us over the few months, have been getting involved in coconut oil. And one of the things people have, the first thing they want to think about is, well, what's happening to their, you know, what's happening to their cholesterol levels, because it is a saturated fat. Well, I went, and here was my results in regards to my cholesterol panel. My total cholesterol was 179, and it should be between 100 and 199. My triglycerides were 89, and the good range there is from 0 to 149. My HDL cholesterol was 66, and anything above 100, above 39 is good. My total cholesterol HDL ratio was 2.7. Now, when you have on my chart here, it says that I got from the company, and I did all this on the internet. They even sent me the results and everything else after I went into the doctor. And the nice thing about it is, I think it was the 24th, I ordered it up. It came through. The order came through on the internet. I typed it off, printed it off, took it into the lab that was closest to me, and went in and got the test that particular day, and by 10 o'clock that next morning, I had all the results and everything in my email waiting for me to print it off. So I was very, very impressed about that. But my total cholesterol HDL ratio is 2.7, and it says here that if you have, for men, it's basically, excuse me, for anybody, it's 0 to 5.0. But what it goes on to say is, it says that if you have a 3.4, you're half the greater risk of having cardiac health diseases. Women, it's 3.3, and it even goes as high as three times average risk. It goes up to 23.4. So I was kind of excited when mine was 2.7, so I was really excited about that. So I've come to the conclusion in regards to my cholesterol levels and things like that, that I think that coconut oil has not put me does not make me worry at all about in regards to the trans saturated fats. So I'm excited about that, and that I've been taking it now for quite a few months, and I take anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 basic tablespoons a day, and it has basically done me good as far as I'm concerned, because my good HDL is up to where I'm glad that it is up to where it is. So I'm really excited about that. So that was that in regards to me. Okay, that's my own particular thing. The other thing I'd like to talk to you a little bit about today, and that is paprika. I know we talked about a lot of spices and whatever on this call, but one of the things that I find is that I don't think sometimes a lot of us use spices the way they're designed to be utilized. And I found out about paprika, a few months ago. I did a kind of report on different spices and, well, they're beneficial to the body. But I also take it, and I put cayenne pepper in my eggs in the morning. And I put cayenne pepper, I put paprika, and I put garlic in my eggs in the morning, which I have. And I'm the kind of person that I could eat scrambled eggs for breakfast the rest of my life and be totally happy. But I didn't have that, I went and did it, made my eggs and everything else, and when I sat down to eat them, they were warm. They were hot. I mean, a hot sense as far as the spice goes. And I thought, well, how could that be, because I didn't put any cayenne pepper in it. And then I realized that the only two I put in it, so I did a little research, and it came up with paprika. and says paprika is a spice that is often overlooked by cooks. The only time we think of paprika, and I found this true in my family over the years, you know, is when we make potato salad or chicken using the spice for color or to make drab dishes look alive. But paprika is an interesting spice that can be used far much more than coloring agent. I also was kind of interested. I didn't know where paprika came from. I don't know why, but I've come to find out that basically paprika is a red powder that is made from grinding the dried pods of mild varieties of the peppers. The pepper plant used to make this spice range from the sweet bell pepper to the milder chili peppers. I didn't realize that's where they came from. So then when I read that, I realized, well, that's where my heat was coming from, in my mouth. It talks about paprika powder ranges from bright red to brown. Its flavors range from sweet and mild to more pungent and hot, depending on the type of pepper used in the processing. Now, sweet paprika basically is the standard, and that's the kind we kind of get out of the grocery stores. But the hot paprika actually gives you a taste buds, a jolt. Both varieties are generally carried in most supermarkets. If you cannot find hot paprika in your local supermarket, you can always try gourmet food stores. The other thing I found out is that paprika basically it came from Hungary, is where they basically started to use it, and they used it for like putting on chicken and making goulash and all those other kind of things. Spain has been involved in paprika production. Paprika releases its color and flavor when heated. And when I read that, it hit me right between the eyes. When heated, well, when I put it in my eggs, I put my eggs in the pan or whatever, and then I put in my paprika, my real salt, I put in my garlic and my cayenne pepper, and I realized why I was getting that hot taste, because paprika releases color and flavor when heated. So when you sprinkle it over colorless dishes, it improves the food's appearance, not its flavor. And then when I think about all the years my mother used to make potato salad, and probably some of you out there did the same thing, that was one of kind of the main ingredients of making, when you got done making potato salad, and that was to take paprika and kind of sprinkle over the top of it. And the only reason I know my mother did it, and I've talked about this on the call before, and that was because it gave the potato salad color, but it didn't give it too much taste. And that is why it is often used as a garnish. It's not a flavoring. However, you can be used as a flavoring by stirring the powder into some oil before adding it to a recipe. Well, one of the things I do with my eggs is I put in a tablespoon or 2 tablespoons of coconut oil in a pan and warm it up, and then I put in my eggs and whatever. So that's one of the reasons that my paprika is coming out with the flavor and everything that it is, because basically I'm putting the oil in there, in my coconut oil, to actually make the flavor of paprika come out more. And the other thing is, we can be creative in cooking with paprika. You know, you can add 2 tablespoons, as an example, to your favorite pasta sauce. You can sprinkle it on potatoes or homemade fries, it says here. Well, how about popcorn? I wonder how it would taste with sprinkled over popcorn. If people put it on potato salad to make it look good, I wonder what it would do with popcorn. So they even use it for things like, use it liberally as kind of a paste. You can put on poultry, meat, and fish when cooking. And you can use paprika as a milder seasoning in chili or stews. It can even liven up some soups with color and flavor. Well, what I suggest is give paprika a try next time you cook. Don't forget, it can be used for more things than potato salad. Now, the nutrition side of it, it also is very high in antioxidants. It has an item in it that is very important to me because I have diabetics, and my mother had macular degeneration where she lost her sight and went blind, and that's called zeaxanthin. And that's basically lutein and zeaxanthin is one of the main things that people should be taking in regards to help with the eyes. And I find out that paprika is very high in that zeaxanthin. So I kind of got excited about that. So not realizing what I was doing when I was putting paprika in my eggs in the morning and whatever, that I was actually doing something for, it's also good for cataracts. And it helps me because I'm a diabetic and I don't want to lose my sight. So I'm trying to do things that keep it. one of the things they found, the food, lutein and zeaxanthin in certain types of food is very high. Kale is one of the highest things that have lutein and zeaxanthin in it, and mostly zeaxanthin. And in just kale raw, in 100 grams, basically there's 39,550 micrograms of zeaxanthin in kale. The next one down the list is dandelion greens. And then spices, paprika is the third in a list of, holy cow, I think the list of 80 different types of foods, paprika is list number three. And then the fourth one is spices, pepper, red or cayenne, and I know some of us, some of you on this call take cayenne pills. Turnips are high in it, spinach is. Spinach has 12,198, but there's a whole list of different types of foods in here that are basically beneficial and carry zeaxanthin in it and lutein in it that is beneficial for our bodies. So anybody have anything you'd like to say about that at this particular time?
I'd like to know how to spell zeaxanthin or whatever it was you said.
Well, I've always wanted to get a hold of you and find out where's that. What's that site that you go to show the different ways of pronouncing things?
It's just dictionary.com.
Well, that was real simple, wasn't it? I always have to remember that. The way that you spell that, Ruth, is Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. The Z might be quiet, I don't know. But
zeaxanthin? It's zeaxanthin?
Z-A-X.
I know the X is pronounced as a Z.
As a what?
As a Z, as in zebra. Zeaxanthin.
Okay, I got it. You got it. I'll have to work on it.
Z-E-X-C-I-N. Actually, I had that much, but what came after than that?
Yep.
That's the word, Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. And the other one is lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N. And I do take a pill that I get from Vitacost that has those two items in it already. But I was just curious, and kind of when I read about paprika, I thought, man, I didn't realize that basically I'm getting a lot of that in paprika. In other words, in paprika, there's 13,157 micrograms just in paprika alone. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Or suggestions or ideas? Well, one of the things, Jen, if you don't, I'd like to get into here real quick.
Nancy's supposed to ask you, trying to ask you something.
Oh. This is just a little trivial thing, but we always put that on, what kind of eggs do you call it? Oh, deviled eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Our mothers always put that. We didn't even know. We were getting something really good.
Yeah, most people utilize it as a coloring more so than as a spice that has health benefits to our body. And I think that's something that I think a lot of people use spices, but sometimes I don't think they really realize in a lot of cases how that particular spice, what it basically does for our body. So I just wanted to bring that up this morning.
Monty, I hope it doesn't have to be heated in order for the zeaxanthin to get loose, does it? Do you know?
No, all the heating it does is release the flavor.
Got it.
The heat. In other words, releases the heat.
Got it. Good.
Okay, I have a question because I've been using paprika a bit more. One of my sons was showing me that there's smoked, a couple of them. One is a son-in-law. Anyway, I use it with a smoked paprika.
And you know why that's so funny? I was at Trader Joe's. That was the other day, and I ran out of paprika, so I went to Trader Joe's to get some other stuff, and that's exactly what I got, smoked paprika. It was a lot redder. It had more color into it. So,
but it has quite a different flavor. But I just wanted to. I thought I should find out how they made that smoke flavor and if it was harmful. And I still don't know that. But
all smoked things are you smoke. You know what a smoker is? You know you have coals. Okay. Well, if you use alder wood, you know it has a flavor. If you use apple wood, that has a flavor. Different woods have different flavors. and the smoke actually coats the stuff, and the smoke has the flavor because some of the oils in the sap come up, the tar, or the whatever, some of those oils get onto the stuff. Who knows if it's, bad for you or not.
Bad for you or not.
I'll do some research on it and find out if it would possibly be carcinogenic.
What I have seen is that on, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or someone ran a story, they actually went in and talked to the lady in this lab, a huge lab, where she can duplicate any type of flavoring. And her lab was filled with it. She opened drawers and say, well, this is how I get, ice cream flavorings of all colors, flavors. But they can reproduce in a lab. So that's, I don't know how harmful that is for us because, and in fact, she mentioned, that vanilla is made from, as she put it, the behind of a muskrat. I don't know what that actually means, but think of that when we're eating vanilla-flavored ice cream or anything else.
Versus real flavoring.
You're right. But these are all chemically produced flavorings that we usually always get. And when she said they were show up on a label as natural flavoring. Well,
right.
Yeah, so we did.
Yeah, we had a natural, it wasn't natural. The ice cream had antifreeze in it, essentially.
Monty, I got to ask you a question because of my lab results. Are you eating any other oil besides coconut oil?
Yes, in the last 30 days, I have went to the Mary Newport's. I did a lot of reading about Mary, and I bought her book and everything else. And I do now take not only coconut oil, my same amount of tablespoons, but I also for my morning in my morning eggs after they're cooked and everything, because I also take what's called a medium chain triglyceride. It's called MCT. And basically what it is, it turns into the medium-chain fatty acid glycerides. And I'm utilizing a tablespoon of that in the morning with my eggs. And I'm also utilizing it with my vegetables at night. After I steam them, then I put them in a bowl, and I put a tablespoon of coconut oil in there, and I put a tablespoon of medium-chain triglycerides that you can buy, and I get mine from Vitacost, and called MCT Gold, and I put a tablespoon of that in there also.
Okay, so you're not using olive oil, you're not using butter, and you're not using any other kind of flax oil?
I would say in the last three, since I went on coconut oil, I maybe have used olive oil twice.
Okay.
With some cooking, but I do use the flax. I do use the omega green and DHA Nikens, and in that there is the flaxseed oil powder.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so but that's the only two things that I utilize is as far as oils go is coconut oil, and I cook with that and utilize and melt it and put it on things, and then I also take that medium chain triglycerides for the last 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Anybody else have any questions or suggestions? Something else in my mind I wanted to talk to you about. And yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention you gave the commercial for allswell.org. I did make a change on the layout of it and put the links that were to health calls on the lifestylesupport.org on the same sending people when they click on the link for health style and lifestyle calls, it sends you to lifestylesupport.org, and at the top you click for the links to the calls. So just made it a little bit different.
Thanks, Steve.
So people aren't confused when they go there.
Thank you. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you, too. You're awesome.
I was going to talk about some vitamin D today, about what type of skin a person has, and then I was going to go over some things in regards to what your latitude is in regards to where you particularly live. Nancy lives in what's called the subtropics, and we here in the Northwest or in most other parts of the United States live in the mid-Atlantic. And I was going to go over some when is the best kinds of days, in other words, from 8 o'clock in the morning to 11, from 11 to 3, and then from 3 to 6 about how much we would absorb by being out in the sun. But I'll do that probably next Friday if that's okay, and I'll get into a little bit more about vitamin D than we have in the past. So other than that, it's 7:33. It's been a good week. I've been excited, and I will probably, when I come on the call, well, I won't be here Tuesday, but I also went yesterday and got my, that one you're supposed to get the inflammation test with C-proactive protein, something or other. I went and purchased that yesterday and also went to the lab and got my blood work, and so I'll be able to know what that is. For sure, probably at 10 o'clock this morning. Let me check here real quick, if you don't mind. Get into my email. It might already be in there. That's one of the things I like about utilizing this service. I know some people don't like to spend extra money by going out and getting this kind of stuff, but, you know, like my protein test cost me 40. Normally it's 50-some dollars if you went to, no, it's not there. Went to the lab, it just paid for it, but if you're a Life Extension member, you can get it. I think I got it for $42. It's $12 off the actual price of the test. And I'm not suggesting that people go crazy and start going to this place and getting tests done, but I'm the kind of person that want to know what's going on in my body, and I can't wait for the next 90 days or 6 months before I go see my doctor again. So that's why I do what I do. But each and every one of you have a great weekend, and Mary Lou will be here with us on Monday. So make it, hug somebody, put a smile on their face, on your face, and just have a great weekend, and we'll listen to you all, and we'll be here back on Monday. Thanks again. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Monty. Thanks.
Thank
very
you,
good. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend, everyone. I see a bunch of people on the call who are not on the call.
Thank you. Travel safe, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.